Senator Jim DeMint. And he has written a new book called The Great American Awakening, 2 years of that changed America, Washington and me. Senator, how are you?
Hey, Tony, I'm doing great. Thanks for inviting me to Michigan today. It sounds like it's a beautiful day there.
Well, it is, and I've been to South Carolina many times as I lived in Atlanta for a few years, a beautiful state you have there. Talk about your political background just to refresh the memories of our listeners.
Well, I never wanted to be involved in politics. I had my own business until I was 47 years old, and I got tired of beating on the television set, wondering why they were doing what they were doing in Washington. So I decided to run for Congress in 98, and it surprised everybody, including me, that I got elected since I'd never run for anything. But I was in the House 6 years. I believed in term limits, so I was coming home or running for something else, and I decided to run for the Senate. I've been there one term, 6 years, and last few years I decided I couldn't take the status quo, and I started stepping outside the party establishment and endorsing people like Marco Rubio and Rand Paul and Ron Johnson and stirred things up. That's really what the book is about, is I didn't make people happy inside of Washington, but it seemed to be pretty much in line with folks all over the country who thought it was time that we change things and stop what was going on, but mostly just the reckless spending and the debt. That's what seems to be uniting America.
For standing up against wasteful spending in Congress and saving Americans about $17 billion, Wall Street Journal editor Steve Moore called you the taxpayer's greatest ally. That's a pretty good tag to have.
Well, it is, but the whole point of the Great American Awakening is I have no power, and no one really does inside of Congress, unless Americans are standing with them. And I've seen it when we were dealing with issues like the amnesty immigration bill, when only a few people in the Senate thought they could stop that, millions of Americans got engaged, and it actually changed what was going on. And we have to do that today with this debt ceiling debate. We have to use this as a time to force a balanced budget amendment to be passed and sent to the states, but we can't do it without people. And if you don't mind me mentioning that effort, Tony, we've got a website now. I don't, but hundreds of outside conservative and Tea Party groups. It's called cutcapbalancepledge.com, and Americans from all over the country are signing up, and they get the address of their congressmen and senators. They can call or write. We're just trying to get people to commit to opposing an increase in this debt limit unless we get some real cuts and caps on spending, and unless we actually pass a balanced budget. If we don't do it now, I'm convinced we're going to bankrupt our country. We can't really take the levels of debt that the president is talking about adding. So this is a fight where we need Americans again. And if people read the book, it'll encourage them that the average American can make a big difference. And particularly when you get together with your neighbors and do something that puts a little pressure on congressmen and senators, we can take back our country, but this is maybe our last chance to do it. So the next 18 months is pretty important.
Couldn't you be more effective in the game as opposed to writing a book?
Well, I am in the game.
Right.
But the whole point of the book is to help people understand that the power behind me, behind those who want to change things, is really outside of Washington. Because when I started the process of trying to get rid of parochial earmarks and pork barrel spending, it was not popular inside among Republicans or Democrats. And unless people got engaged, which they did, and they sent new folks to Washington, like Ron Johnson over in Wisconsin and Rand Paul, these folks came in determined to change the focus from parochial politics to what's good for our country. And we actually banned earmarks. That was something everyone in Washington said would never happen. But the point of writing about this is letting people know that we need them. And they changed things in the last 2 years. We need them more than ever to change things in the next election.
Senator, what I keep hearing from listeners is that they are making a statement to our politicians, but that the politicians aren't listening. They made a statement on Election Day, but once these folks got elected, they kind of went ahead with their own business. And what I can't seem to understand is if the statement was made, go in there, make the cuts you have to do, do whatever you have to do to get us back into black, and we still seem to be dragging our feet.
Well, there have been obviously some frustrations, but just the fact that we've eliminated this taking home the bacon mentality about these new people that have come in. When we've banned earmarks, the bills that are coming through now are not going through quickly because they've greased the skids with earmarks. That was a huge thing. Now, the couple of months ago when we were dealing with the budget and the showdown of government shutdown, you know, I think some Republicans were snookered on that, and they're not going to be snookered again. They're going to stand strong on this debt limit, I'm convinced, but we need Americans to stand with us. And if Americans sit on the sidelines and just wait for the media to back down congressmen and senators who are trying to stand up, it'll happen, because after a while you feel like everyone's against you when you're listening to the mainstream media. But if we, for instance, get a million Americans to sign up for this cutcapbalancepledge.com on this website, folks inside of Washington will know that Americans are standing with us. They want us to hold the line. And so, again, that's why I wrote the book, If Americans Knew What Their Involvement Can Do to Give Courage to Those Who Want to Do the Right Things. I see a lot more Americans involved in the political process.
In the book, you talk about how the system includes powerful lobbyist staff and bureaucrats, as well as the media. Don't these folks understand what the American public wants, or do they just do what they want to do?
Well, most of them are not there to do what the public wants to do. Most of them, the lobbyists, are hired by particular groups to do particular things, and that's what they're there for. Now, about half of them are out of business because half of them were there to get earmarks right now. But they want tax loopholes. They want particular credits. And despite what the president says, a lot of what he's done is created more loopholes in credit. I mean, he's complained about major corporations not paying taxes. But a lot of them were able to take these huge green credits and things that they can do to get around taxes that he's provided. And he's complaining about corporate jets, but his stimulus plan included these credits for corporate jets. So, and he's complaining about Wall Street and Republicans, but Wall Street gives 5-1 probably to Democrats versus Republicans, and they helped write the financial re-regulation bill. So I think Democrats think Americans are stupid. They're not. And if people get engaged and show Washington that they're paying attention, we can change things. But, Tony, a lot's on the line right now. I feel like this is a moment in time where this generation has to stand up and fight for the freedoms that so many have fought and died for. The election in 2012 may actually be held in the next few weeks over this debt limit. And if Republicans cave on this, I think you're going to see our party fade away and third parties come up, and we're going to have a disastrous election. So I'd just encourage folks to go to cutcapbalancepledge.com and sign up, call their congressmen and senators, let them know they're paying attention, and then I think you'll see us make some permanent changes that can turn things around.
All right, Senator, we got to get to break. Before I let you go, did you vote for or against the help the federal government gave the auto industry here in Michigan?
I voted against it. I think we could have helped the auto industry a whole lot more if we would have allowed the whole process of a normal bankruptcy to go through, let these companies get out from under a lot of the gold-plated union contracts. I don't have any problem with union workers, but union bosses have sold them out. They've used their pension plans for political purposes. And I think you would have found a healthier, stronger industry. But I drive a Ford, and I have for years, and I believe in American automakers. And I just think we just have to realize that the union bosses aren't going to make us strong. The government's not going to make us strong. It's the workers and the innovative spirit of Americans. And I think you still have it there. We just need to get the government off your back.
Has your mind changed now that these automakers are doing well and paying back the money they borrowed?
Well, I'm glad they're paying it back. I don't think we'll ever get it back if you look at the figures. But we would have been, I still think, in better situation, and I think the car companies would have too, if they haven't gotten so tied in with government, the unions owning them, And, of course, it's a different perspective I have, but I don't think you change the law just to accommodate certain companies. And these companies ended up going through bankruptcy, but it was a government-planned bankruptcy, and I just don't think that's the way to run our country. We're moving towards crony capitalism where the government's in bed, not just with the auto companies, but they're picking winners and losers all over our country about who gets credits and who doesn't. We just need to get back to free markets, and I think the workers in Michigan will be a lot better off in the long term.
All right, Senator, I'm about a third through the book. It's called The Great Awakening, 2 Years That Changed America, Washington, and Me, authored by Senator Jim DeMint. A fascinating read, Senator. I look forward to finishing it. Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, Tony.